patience with you. I'm going to do something for you. Wow. Sometimes that's hard. That's very hard. I mean, it's not hard to do it for your kid. Your kid's driving you crazy, but you still get them their clothes. You still get them food. But what about it when it's your friend? What about it when it's your brother, your sister? What about it when it's your neighbor? Not only have patience with them, remember these are action words, but also means to use the golden rule with them. And that's do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Do something good for that person. Next, I love this. I don't need a Valentine, I need a nap. You know, a lot of times, guys, I'm going to give you a little hint. You can bring the nicest Valentine card home you can. If you got children in the house, why don't you just give your wife a spa day and you take care of the kids? Or just let them have a nap and you take the kids. I don't need a Valentine. I need a nap. Love knows no envy. That word envy means to boil. Have you ever boiled over something somebody else had? Have you ever boiled over something that you were expecting you should have gotten and you didn't get it? Okay. Love knows no envy means it's not, it's a change in attitude. It's not a what's in it for me or it's all about me. Now it's about others. Remember, it's an action word. Here's a big one. Love is not boastful. That word boastful means, literally means in the Greek, to play the braggart. Boasting is playing a part. I'll stop right there for a minute. I'm not talking about celebrating your success. We all got to celebrate our successes. We all need to pat each other on the back when they've done something. We've done it together. That's fine, but there's a difference in celebrating success and being a braggart. Because a braggart is playing a part. They're showing off. Literally showing off. I remember on Smokey and the Bandit. Y'all remember what they asked, what Sally Field asked Burt Reynolds what he was good at? What did he say? Showing off. I don't need you to show off. I need you to show up. Amen? God don't need you to show off. God needs you to show up. It's not just feelings, but it's actions. D.C. was at a conference with a Texan a few weeks back. And the Texan was bragging about all he had and how big his place was. He says, where are you from, D.C.? He said, well, I was raised in this little spot called Possum Track Road in my grandmama's farm. And he goes, how big is that farm? Said, oh, no, maybe 10, 20, 30 acres, 40 acres. I don't know. And the Texan said, ain't nothing. So I can get in my truck in the morning, start at the beginning of my land, and get in my truck in the morning and drive until it gets dark and I'm still not off my land. And DC looked at him and said, yeah, I used to have a truck like that too. I just got to stop and laugh on that one again. I'm trying to hold back and say it must have been a Chevrolet. I'm not trying to say that. All right. The characteristics. Characteristics again of agape. Let me back this one back up. Love is not only something you feel. Remember, love is an action word. Love is not only something you feel, it is something you do. Don't tell me you love me, and then when I need you, you're not there. Don't tell me you love me, walk by and go, have a nice day. James says, if you got two coats and you come across the guy's cold, don't walk about with your two coats. You give him one of your coats. Show him true agape love. So, love is not proud, which means to puff up. To inflate. You ever hear him talk, your chest is poked out? You know, DC and Danny, they're little, they used to come by and poke their chest all out. You know what I would do? I loved it. They'd post their little chest out, and I would take the pointer. Dad, you ever done this? And I'd pop them, right? And they go, Dad, they're hurt. I said, well, how about pull it back in, son? Love is not proud. It means to puff up, to inflate. Sometimes we inflate what we do. We inflate where we go. We inflate our worth in life. You know, it's okay. Like I said, you can focus on your achievements, but don't use them as a yardstick to measure other people. That this right here is a physical legalism. This is not spiritual legalism, it's physical legalism. Because legalism has a yardstick, and you take that religious yardstick and you measure everybody up to your yardstick. The same way, physical legalism, you take your life and what you've accomplished, what you do, and you make a list, and now you start holding up against other people. Guess what? You eat up with pride. And the Bible says what happens with pride? It comes what? Before the fall. Next, love is not rude. That word rude means unshapely. Matter of fact, it means not pretty to look at. When somebody gets rude with me, like I told you before, people start getting rude, I just walk off. I don't have time. I mean, I might try to dress it to start with, but if they're not going to do anything by the way they're acting, I just walk off. You know, because I don't need to get caught up in that and I become rude back. That's not going to help things. Look at this. There's agape right there. See that soldier giving candy to those children in a war-torn area? Wow. That is so awesome. Love is not self-seeking. Get ready. That word self-seeking means literally to worship yourself. Have you ever seen anybody that worship themselves? Here's how you can tell it. Here's their favorite song for their personal praise team. How great I am. How great I am. Love is not self-seeking. It's not about, look, it's about not what you want. It's about giving others what they need. That's what it means. I'm no longer seeking what I can get out of it, but I'm giving you what you need. Love is not easily angered, which means to harass, to exasperate. Wow. To sharpen alongside means you wear somebody pretty thin. It's the opposite, the exact opposite of patience. Now, I'm getting close to the end now, so let's go ahead. God's love is like an ocean. You can see its beginning, but not its end. Wow. That is so awesome. You ever got to look at the ocean and think, wow, how far does it go? Of course, we know it goes to certain places. You can see England. You may see other places. But I'm saying is, though, from where we sit, think about how far. You can't see anything but water. So, love keeps no records. Here we go. I know a lot of people that bury the hatchet and leave the handle sticking out. I hope you don't do that. This is the most difficult of all. It's easy to hold grudges. It's easy to nurse old wounds. It's easy to let the root of bitterness take a hold. And if you're keeping records of wrong, that's what's going to happen. You know, man told his wife, the man messed up, and the wife told her that she forgave him and forgot it. And every time they get in an argument, she'd bring it back up. And he finally said one day, honey, I thought you said you forgave me. She said, I did. He said, I thought you said you forgot it. She said, I did. She said, but he said, why you keep bringing it up? She said, because I want you to remember that I forgot it. And I forgave you. I want you to, don't you forget. Love keeps, you know, It's so easy when you get in a fight with somebody, you get in an argument with somebody, when you find yourself losing the argument, you look back for reinforcements. So if you got it right here, and you're having a discussion that turns to an argument, now you're losing, you go back in your file and find something else they did to throw it out there. Then they will go back in their file and find something you did and throw it back out. And before long, y'all were arguing about where was the mustard put. And now you done went from arguing about where the mustard was put with who bought the biscuits and what day did you buy them and which store did you go to and why didn't you do this and why. You got 25 things you're arguing about because you kept records of wrongs. Keep it short. Keep the list short, please. Keep it short. It'll make your life a whole lot simpler if you keep the list short. Love does not delight in evil. It's happy. It's not. That means to be happy when injustice occurs. I don't like injustice no matter who they are. I don't like to see injustice even if I'm not the greatest fan of the person that injustice was done to. I don't like injustice. Part of a sanguine personality is it hates injustice. I very much hate it. I want to see everybody get a fair chance. Love rejoices with the truth. It means to sympathize with gladness. Wow. And love always protects. That literally means your agape builds a roof over your loved ones. You protect them. You look out for them. You take care of them. I don't have this up here, but I want you to write this down if you're writing anything, taking any notes. What we just read, and I got a few more slides, two more, but this kind of love that I'm talking about is a powerful love because it's transformative. It changes us from the inside out. If I'm trying to love you with filial love or storge love and things aren't working out, I can pull up and just leave. Or I can go back at you with negative. But when I love you with agape love, it doesn't happen like that. Agape love's different. It transforms you from the inside out. It influences our actions. It shapes our character. Actually, it compels us to love others, not because they deserve it, but because we have been loved by God in this same way. Wow. Number two, agape is also powerful because it's enduring. It doesn't give up. It doesn't give in. It preserves us through our trials. It endures through hardships. It remains steadfast in the face of adversity. That's why the Bible says love never fails. And then finally, agape love is something that is deliberate. It's a love that's not dependent on your feelings or circumstances, but it's a choice. I choose to love you in this way. So, there you go. Just look at that for a minute. If you've never seen, we got firemen. How many firemen we got in here? If you're not public fireman or fireman at your work, I was both, firemen. If you've never seen a fireman go into a fire that everybody else is running out of, and somebody could have died because nobody went in to get them because they were scared of the fire. I remember one day, this is crazy. It's how God works. One day I was in my shop working, and I had one of those flash visions. If I ever called you and told you I have a flash vision, please listen. I had this flash vision, and I saw DC, who's a fireman. I saw him in a fire. And I saw the roof cave in, and it knocked his helmet off, and it put out an eye and burned him. And I texted DC and said, DC, I just had one of those flash visions. He said, what was it, Dad? And I wrote it to him. And he wrote back and said, you ain't gonna believe this, Dad. I'm in training right now. I didn't know that. I'm in training right now for this stuff. About 3 weeks later, I'm working on my sermon on Saturday morning. And I get a text from DC and he said, it happened, Dad. And I said, what happened, son? He said, the roof caved in. He said, but I remember your vision. And he said, when my helmet got knocked off, my partner, I made sure I didn't go by myself, my partner reached down and put my helmet back on and shielded me so I could get it back on. Now, that's some powerful stuff. And I remember when I was a fireman, several firemen died because they fell through roofs and landed in the flames in Greenville. And I believe it's in Washington too, but that's agape. Leaving your children and your wife and your job behind to go into a fire. The same way with the military, when they leave their family and they leave their kids, they leave their wife and go on a mission and not knowing if they will ever come back. That's agape. Agape. But again, like I told you, also, your wife's getting up making you supper and you're sitting there and she's tired and she's getting up and going and getting up and going and you're just going, honey, sit there. I got this and I got the dishes. You know what that is? That's agape. So it'll be something as complex as going in a fire, and be something as simple as, I'll do the dishes tonight. Let me do it. You sit down and rest. Can I get you some coffee? Can I get you some tea? First Corinthians 13:13. Now about a faith, hope, and agape. These three. But the greatest of these is agape. All three of these are important to your spiritual life, every last one of them. But love is the driving force. Love handles all of this. Love brings us life. It brings us passion. It brings us purpose. Agape doesn't give up. It keeps on going. It keeps on loving. It keeps on forgiving because it reflects the heart of God. How many's ever had a puppy? How many's ever had a lab, which I like to consider is the ultimate to me in dogs? I know there's a lot of other kind of breeds out there and you might like better, but I've always just loved the way that lab would do. Lab, love and devotion, L-A-B. Lab, love and, I said devotion, but it's not that. Labrador, just trust me, love and devotion. I can't even spell, that's all right. How about lad? It's lad, love and devotion. Love and benevolence. I'll get it out in a minute, praise God. But I've noticed over the years that I have scolded my dogs, or they got up under my feet, and I said, and not meaning to, kicked them. Or saying, get out of the way, please move. And they run off and they look kind of sad. And just in a few minutes, guess who's back loving on you? They're loving you. Dog. The way a dog acts. I'm getting ready to do a sermon on dog. The way I take a dog, take dog and spell it backwards, what you got. Love, or dog spelled backwards, is God. to me, a dog. As the greatest show on earth of agape love. A cat, they got the greatest show of an attitude on earth. See right there? That was her loving me last night. My cat was loving me. I'm telling you, if she'd love me a little bit further down, I may have had to get stitches. I may have had to call the EMS. That was her loving me. One thing I do find out about cats, remember this about cats, if you never had a cat, when you get a cat, when it falls on its back and does like this, it's a trick. Do not touch its belly. Because when you touch that belly, you got four sets of claws coming at one time will take you down. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It is not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. It does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. DC, come on up here, bro. If you want to show Christ in your life, practice this. This is all action words. Practice it. Practice it. Practice it. C.S. Lewis once wrote, agape love is profoundly Christian and biblical. It is a love that loves without changing. It is self-giving love that gives without demanding or expecting repayment. It is a love so great that it can be given to the unlovable or unappealing. It is a love that loves even when it is rejected. Agape love is not a feeling. It is a motivation for action that we are free to choose or reject. Wow. This quote beautifully encapsulates agape. Everybody please stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask you a question. But nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. How long has it been since you did something for somebody knowing they will not or they cannot reciprocate that love? I showed firemen and talked about soldiers, but you know, there's another set of people that encapsulate agape. That's caretakers. Because they give and they give and they give and they take and they take and they take. And what they do affects the rest of their life. How long has it been? Now, one more time. How long has it been since you gave, and I mean other than just to your kids, you gave, especially to a non-family member, but you gave not expecting anything back? With all heads bowed, and all eyes closed. That's a powerful thought. How many times in recent time have you stood in the gap for somebody that could not, was not able to stand in the gap for you to return it? How many times, not physically, but spiritually, you ran into a burning building to help someone? That's agape. That's a choice. It's a decision. It's not a feeling. Jesus ran into a burning building called earth and saved us. Jesus was our caretaker. Jesus was a soldier. Jesus was a no-excuse kind of guy. He got it done. With every head bowed, every eye closed, how many would say, be honest, while nobody's looking, would you say, I would really like to do better? I'm not going to ask you if you've ever done it. Just how many would say, Lord, help me to do a better job of showing your agape? Bless them, Lord. Bless them. I want God to help me do a better job of showing agape. I want it. God, help me. Now, when you raise that hand, you know what you just did? You invited God to put somebody in your path that's going to need you. When I think about Brother Benny going out searching for somebody he doesn't even know at the risk of his own life, that's agape. And Brother Wayne taking kids to the hospital so they can learn to walk again and get their operations at no cost to them, that's agape. We have so many signs of agape. We got these firemen in here. We got so many signs of agape in here. The guys going to prison. We talking to guys that may never get out, may never can do anything for us, or may get out and hurt us. But we still do it. Y'all pray with me. Father, help us to be more like you. Help us to be willing to bear that cross. Help us, God, to show agape every day in every way. And we thank you for it. We know, God, there's people out there that may not, or cannot, or will not reciprocate. Help us, God, still give it our all for you in the name of Jesus. And God, we rededicate our own lives to you right now. Because you can't give what you ain't got. Touch us in a very powerful way, Lord. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, we got one more week of our New Year stuff. And then we're going to start Bible, how to study the Bible on Tuesday nights. And supposedly it's a 13-week thing with it, maybe more, because you know us. We get in there and we run our mouth. And every now and then we even get on another subject. Eddie, I don't know, do you know what I'm talking about? I'm looking back at me. I mean, I'm looking at both of us. Yeah. Okay. But it's going to be good. So please come on and get in. Also remember, check on each other. It's okay to call you. So somebody can think it's crazy if I call them. Why? You're a part of the family. Call them. Text them. You know, text them. There's nothing else. I text people all the time because sometimes you can't call, so I text. You know, I'll text, you know, how you doing? You know, like, how's things going? How you feeling? It's okay, I promise. Now, we're going to start. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. I'd say the Lord's Prayer. Then, Brother Wayne, then you dismiss us in prayer, okay? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.